It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're damn right we start right now. It's In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Fig, was that you that put that Computer Love in the background there?
No, I don't think so.
Shout out to Ben. I heard that. I like that. If there's one thing I can promise for today's show that will differ from Payne and Pendergast in the morning before us, significantly fewer religious references. I can tell you that for certain. That is not where we're going today. Where we will start, however, is I will remind you that we always got the Odyssey app available for you. We got the YouTube, we got the Twitch, all those things are popping. I see y'all going back and forth talking in there. We appreciate that. Plus, you can always text in 713-572-4610. And please do that right now. It's right off the top. One of the questions that I've been asking myself and that I've been asking kind of people around me, and I'd like to ask you, John,
yes, sir.
You, Figgy, and you, the dear listener, did this game shift how you feel about the Texans' ceiling at all? Again, 713-572-4610, because this is a team that came in and they beat the Colts, who we have looked at as maybe not that good of a team, not even as good of a team as we probably were envisioning when we walked into the season.
Mm-hmm.
They beat the Bears. Close, a team that it does seem like you probably should have handled up on a lot better. And obviously understanding that they did not play their best game, but that is the case, right? And then you come out and you got handled by a Minnesota Vikings team that you probably should have been able to compete with, but you simply didn't, right? And we understand the reasons why, but those are the results in results-oriented business. And with that, all that being the case, does that shift the way that you view the ceiling on this team after a preseason, a training camp of people gushing over this Texas team and putting them as Super Bowl contenders? Has that shifted at all after this game?
Today, as we sit here, you know, September 24th, 10:03 a.m., I don't see how it couldn't have. I honestly don't. That's not to say they can't get there. That's not to say they won't get there. It's to say that based on what we have seen, and to me, it's not just Sunday. I think that's where it really you really have to reach this conclusion of, all right, we got to recalibrate here. You know, we got to recalibrate, and they got to get a lot better. Because what it did for me is Sunday kind of put an emphasis on those first two games that you just referenced. Like, those were average to bad teams.
Yeah.
And we were sitting here going, hey, they showed that grit. They showed that, you know, that ingredient that, you know, helped them win the games. I think it kind of put a focus on those two games. It's like, yeah, they weren't really a lot better than those two teams.
They played down to their competition.
Or did they?
Is that okay?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I'm getting where you're laying down now.
Yeah, so what I'm saying is Sunday, when you look at it in the context of also the first two games of the season, you're like, okay, maybe they're just not where we thought they should be at this point in the season. So, yeah, today, as we sit here, you got to recalibrate a little bit.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, that is what I've been going back and forth. And I did use the word ceiling intentionally here because ultimately we know that week three is not a final product by any means, right? Mm-hmm. One of the things that I think people have been using to console themselves in some ways after the loss in Minnesota was the fact that good teams, great teams even, have had losses, even bad losses during the course
Absolutely.
Of this, man. It's football. It's the reason why there is truth in the cliche that we constantly hear of any given Sunday, and now you have to add Monday and Thursday and Saturday. But any given Sunday, you can lose a football game because they're getting paid too, because the NFL, so on and so forth. But, I mean, we're seeing people text in, and I'm seeing bounces back and forth. But, yeah, there's some people that are like, yeah, absolutely shifted what they perceive to be the ceiling. A true Super Bowl contender at least makes it somewhat close in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
And I think my spin on that particular one, and I mentioned this when you were talking about passing thoughts, one of the things I noticed in my notes is Super Bowl contenders don't hurt themselves like this. And that's the thing that really hit me was just details. I mean, look, you've got to be able to keep yourself largely clean. I'm not expecting you to be perfect because perfection is, it's unfair expectation. We're talking about human beings and all these things. Plus, you're talking about a mass of human beings all trying to work in unison, right? Trying to, like a Swiss arm or a Swiss watch, right? Like all these pieces have to work together. And that's not the easiest thing to accomplish, especially early on with the changes that we had in CBA, all that, right?
Yeah.
But this feels far off, right? Mm-hmm. Like the way that particularly this game went with all of the issues that happened with penalties and those types of things. And then you put on top of that, you're getting out coached.
Yeah.
In that instance, those are the things that made me, that gave me pause. Even if my, I still think they can get to that ceiling that I had for them. And I did feel a little vindicated in being its early guy.
Yeah.
But those are the things that make me go, huh, mm-hmm. okay, where are you getting to? Because Bobby Slowik conversations are popping up. Do you have interior problems dealing with when you get an elite a wide receiver mm-hmm. messing with the middle of your like, I think those questions popped up to a point where I'm like, I can't in good conscience be like, this is Super Bowl contender right now until they start showing me something.
No, you just said, you know, you think they could still get there? I think they will still get there. I think they do have the talent is unquestioned, but I think things need to change and adjustments need to be made. So right now, I'm looking at those first two games and I'm like, they weren't just a fluke occurrence. They weren't just a slow start. You know, new faces, new teammates getting together. They were a team that just wasn't as good, that was exposed against Minnesota. So it wasn't Sunday that did it. It's it's the whole breadth of the season so far, where you're like, all right, you put that all into context, and they're not there yet. But you're right. When they face a big-time receiver, and they will, you know, that needs to be different and it needs to change. Offensive line, we're going to address that today. I think it may need to be changed. Or certainly
not
better.
Not fixed, changed is the word that you use there. Okay.
Changed and certainly better. You know, I think, and we're going to get to this today as well, I think C.J. Stroud needs to have more Josh Allen in him than who's a good, really good, you know, let's say a good, you know, manager of a game that's a really good quarterback. You know, I can't think of an example right now.
Who is the go-to game manager in the league right now? Hold on.
That's good. You know, that someone like that. Is it Kirk Cousins? I don't know. You know. Someone like that.
Kirk's a good answer. Yeah, text in 713-572-4610.
A really good manager that doesn't necessarily put the team on his back.
Getting our Cam Newton on now.
Who is your go-to game manager quarterback?
Brock Purdy.
Brock Purdy? Ah, yeah.
You know what? Purdy.
Yeah.
Although he looked good Sunday. We didn't really get to it yesterday. Like, he was trying to carry that team on his back. He was making some
play. He's a game manager.
Yeah, well, definitely for the most part. So what I'm saying is, I think they can get there.
No, Tommy Dang on the YouTube. Stroud is not being downgraded to a game manager. All right, let's press pause real quick and clean this up.
I'm saying he needs to be more Josh Allen and less what we've seen the first 3 weeks.
Have he been playing like a game manager?
No, but he hasn't been taking over. He hasn't been, you know, dealing. Like we saw last night. Hell, we saw it from Jaden Daniels.
Buddy.
Yeah.
Buddy, did we see it from Jaden Daniels? One of the things that happens for me is, like, you know, you see a player play so well that they kind of get out of their shoes a little bit. And this was actually inspired by Austin Rivers, former Houston Rocket at one point. Where I get offended, like, who the hell do you think you are?
Yeah.
And I very much had a, who the hell do you think you are, Jaden Daniels?
Well,
and apparently he might be that guy, right? Whoever that is. But yeah, back to the question at hand.
Yeah. So they can get there. I think they will get there. But this is what they are right now. Like, they are not an elite team. They're just not. And it's not just based on Sunday. That's my point.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, and I mean, more things coming in, right? The idea of 3-4-6, this game didn't change my perspective. I think it gave them the team clarity on how they need to play. Still think AFC Championship and beyond is the expectation. Okay, cool. 8-3-2, do the Texans look better last year to this year? Defense looks better, but the offense seems like it needs work. One of the things in that regard that I think about is the offensive line is not just just generally the inability to run the football, right? Like, obviously, week two gave me some of this, but seeing it again in week three, especially against a Minnesota Vikings team that was content to probably let you run the football, right? Like, when it came to defensive focuses, their focus was clearly more on stopping the pass and making life hell on C.J. Stroud. Now, I understand you did not have Joe Mixon, you did not have Damian Pierce, right? That is understood. But even with Cam Akers in there, there was, and I read the stat a few times. You know what? Let me go ahead and do my damnedest to pull this up one more again for you, right? So we could get this on wax, right? But the idea that the Texans' ground game struggled to create space for their running backs, the Vikings contacted ball carriers behind the line of scrimmage on 8 of 11 design runs.
Yeah.
Right? The idea that you are not capable of running the football, hell, it's just the inverse of all the things we were talking about after week one, right? Like the idea, and we said this tentatively, if they were capable of, you know, run the ball that way, now you could put games away, right? Now you can, when teams are expecting, you know, one thing, you can go to another, right? Now you are balanced enough to where teams can't lock in all these things. When you don't have the run, all of those things come back into play, right? Are you capable of closing out games? We haven't even been in the place to the game scripts to be able to have that conversation, but now people can lock in on Nico, and now you're forcing yourself to do different things. Now people can pin their ears back and get you in third and long situations, and then go and get after your quarterback. Like, all of those things come in, and it feels like that is like foundationally an error. Not just that they haven't been running the ball well, that they might not be capable of running the ball in a consistent way, or even in an average way, which I think is what we were hoping for at the very least.
And oh, by the way, they need to coach better. Like they need to have better coaching. That's not, again, you know, so, you know, when you say these things, people are like, oh, he thinks this coaching staff stinks. No, they need to improve. We're talking about adjustments, you know, well, you know, that they need to do.
Adjustment might be the word.
The coaching needs to be better than what they've showed. Again, in all three games, not just in Sunday. Sunday highlighted it, particularly, you know, defensively. You mentioned, how they dealt with Justin Jefferson. But also, like, look, some of these play calls and such that that Bobby Slowick was doing, that the offensive line was not adjusting to, blocking, using Cade Stover to block an end, and all those, like, it's all these things need to be something of a recalibration, a reset.
Yeah. So, I mean, those are some of the things that have kind of, again, I shifted some of the perspective that I had after this game. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that there's, and we should have known, like, we all know this, like, this, there's not going to be a perfect start to the season necessarily, and there's going to be some issues that pop up. I think some of the things that were really frustrating is, as you mentioned, like, the idea of adjustment and the places where it felt like there might have been progress, for me in particular, like, the hope of the, oh, man, there's progress in the run, were dashed pretty quickly by weeks two and three. And you're right, it's not just week three, but it's the entirety of these first few games that you've gotten. Oh, that's a great answer from the 8-2 when we were talking about the idea of who are the guys you look at or you kind of point to as game manager quarterbacks. It was all in service of a point that Lopez was making where he was not calling CJ Stroud a game manager. I didn't want to make that clear. Justin Fields, game manager now.
Yes.
Like, he has gotten to a good place.
Somebody said Jared Goff.
One of those,
a guy that can be great, but not necessarily carry the team on his shoulders. And what I'm saying is, I think maybe C.J. Stroud needs to be doing more of that. He's a great quarterback. Let's use it. You know, that's what I'm saying.
Another 8-3-2 hit us up, said, good morning, guys. Good morning to you as well. I haven't lost faith in the Texans, but the game reminded me a lot of the Letterman jacket game. Texans get a little early season success and start believing the press clippings. Miko needs to break his foot off of somebody's behind. keep those boys hungry.
Mm-hmm.
That is something that we'll talk more about over the course of this. But we asked, did they eat the rat poison, right? Eat the cheese or what have you? Clint felt very confident about that. And it does feel like there is some of that mentality, I do think, is interesting. Because it felt like all of the messaging that D'Amico has, and, mm-hmm. you know, like, it's all admirable and it's all the stuff that you love. We heard that, you know, heavy in camp, which is where you're going to hear it.
Yeah.
It does. You wonder, like, how deep of a hold did those roots take, and how actionable is that with the? Because I mean, it's good to have the messaging. How much do you put it into place? I deal with this with my little brother all the time. Like, we have these conversations all the damn time. Like, oh, you need to do this, you need to do that. These are the things that are important. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes, sir. All right. In a few months, we back having the same conversation, right?
Like, exactly.
So. And not to say that it's to that extent, because, again, I don't want to be too alarmist with this. Like, we're early on in the season, and there's still a ton of talent, as D'Amico said, as, you know, C.J. Stroud specifically said it in his post-game availability. But especially with the offensive line, like, you see the cracks in the mm-hmm. or I guess the difference between the actions and the way that they're going about some of these things and the messaging overall that D'Amico
said. Let me put it this way. I think this is the simplest way I can put it. And this, I guess, is a cliche. I don't know. It was absolutely a wake-up call. This was a wake-up call.
And that's what it needs to be.
And they have to wake up. You know, they can't hit the snooze alarm and say, I'll be fine. We'll be there on time. No. Like, this was a wake-up call. It was a wake-up call on Bobby Slowick, on the defensive coaching staff, whether it's Burke, D'Amico, the combination thereof, the offensive line, the focus, the mentality of the offensive line, on how they're using certain players in certain situations, how they're blocking things. Like, this is one where we got away with it. We got away with being this way, this type of a team, this comfortable with what we're doing,
mm-hmm.
weeks one and week two. We got away with it. You ain't gonna get away with it all the time. Not when you step up in class. That's what I'm saying. It's not riding off the Texans.
Right.
It's not, they can't get there. It's none of that. It's like, holy moly, we just got slapped in the face. We just got a bucket of cold water poured on our heads. We better listen to this.
Yeah. Do you feel like this is the perfect time for a wake-up call, though? Because I was thinking about this. Like, they played the Vikings last week, and they got whooped. But I still kind of feel confident, because it's not like they got whooped by the Chiefs or the Ravens, and now, like, your whole season you kind of deflated now, because you like, man, we got to go through these guys.
Well, I think part of it is,
I feel like week three is the perfect time to go through this type of stuff.
That's what I was gonna say. Timing is okay. Like there are still, you know, a lot of 14 games left. And timing is okay, but you better pay attention. And this is why I went off yesterday on Laramie Tunsil. This is why we're going to talk about some of these things today. It's like, okay, you can't just keep on keeping on, you know, because it isn't going to work.
No.
Yeah.
I think it's funny, the question of, is this the perfect time? I feel like whenever you get a loss, the spin work of it is like, man, we needed this. This is a good time to have this.
We can learn from this.
Exactly. Unless it ends right. But, I mean, ultimately, if it does provide the growth, if it does provide the change that's necessary, yeah, then it's a great time, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
It's a great time regardless, right? Because ultimately, you need to get to where you need to go, and whatever has to get you there, it gets you there, right? And so the mentality of, well, this is a good time to learn this lesson, as long as you're learning it, I'm good with it, right? But I do want to acknowledge that, hey, man, if it happens early in the season, well, there's still plenty of season for us to get it fixed. If it happens late, well, you know what? We needed to get our head straight on before we get to the playoffs or what have you. So, ultimately, yeah. I think that when it comes to, like, the ceiling, they still have high potential, right? They still have the opportunity to get there. But the idea of, will they get there? I think that they, the obstacles to getting to that place have presented themselves in a way that I don't know we necessarily saw in a full or in, like, in this particular way. So I guess the answer for me is yes in a little bit of a way. But now it's time to get to work, put the grind on, and see if D'Amico, Bobby, all the principals in this can get them to that place. We're in the loop. John Lopez, Figgy Fig, myself, Reginald Atatula, just getting going on a Texans Ticket Tuesday. Mind you, we'll be giving away tickets.
How about that?
In the, what was it, the noon o'clock hour, 12 o'clock hour?
Yeah, 12 o'clock
Very
hour.
Very good. Appreciate you keeping me straight there. So keep it locked here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, Astros have not clinched the AL West title just yet. They still have an opportunity to do that, but I think the much more important thing, the news on Yordan and what it could possibly mean going into the postseason. Let's talk about that next.
Biggie, let's hit him big time. Let's Get in the Loop.
You better get ready because we're going to show up and show up.
With John Lopez and Reggie Atitula. Always live.
Love it. Love it.
Always local.
Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
That's right, you're in the loop, Sports Radio 610. You got John Lopez, you got Figgy Figgy, you got myself, Reginald Atitula, on a Texans Ticket Tuesday. That'll be happening in the 12 o'clock hour. We will be giving away a couple of tickets. Is that to Sunday's game?
Yes, it is. Absolutely, yes, it is.
And that's in the bullpen.
Bullpen front row, I believe. Yeah.
So if you want to see Texans,
I need some of those tickets, man.
Well, you work here, so you have no chance
you
at it.
I cannot get any tickets since I work here.
Get them tickets. But you, dear listener, you can. And all you got to do is listen to this show, particularly in the 12 o'clock hour. Go ahead and stick around, because here in the 11 o'clock hour, we're going to have Brandon Scott. B. Scott is going to be in the building, and he's got thoughts, ladies and gentlemen. He sure does. So you want to keep it locked here. But yeah, we will be giving away a couple of tickets to the Jaguars game in the 12 o'clock hour. Right now, though, let's talk a little bit about some baseball.
Yes.
Baseball in your native language, Lopez. Okay.
What solid? Y'all call it?
Baseball.
Yeah. Baseball.
Baseball. Now I'm just, I didn't change it about three times.
I had to look out, though. Jose Altuve was in there.
Don't do that. Don't do that. The Astros did not clinch last night. The magic number remains at two. And of course, with the magic number, that is Astros wins or Mariners losses, as the Mariners are the next team in the AL West. They're the only team that has the opportunity to really catch you when it comes to that title. And of course, because you're playing them, you can get a win and a Mariners loss at the same damn time.
Yeah.
A couple more opportunities to do that, as they didn't get a chance. They didn't make that happen last night. They get a loss to the Mariners. What was it? 6-1 was the final. Buddy, I was watching the Monday Night Football games, and I had this game on. And once it got to a certain point,
those
I was
three
like,
TVs
oh.
working.
I was like, oh, okay, yeah. I know what time it is. So I did not. I did not keep a heavy eye on the final. But yeah, 6-1 was the final in the course of this. I don't know. You had an old boy on the other side. Miller was dealing. He was doing a damn good job. He ends up going with 7 innings, 5 strikeouts, but I mean, keeps his ERA pretty low. Hunter Brown did solid himself, although, you know, he issued a few walks.
I thought he was really good
in the course of this, right? Like, he's been incredible. But I mean, the game itself, that one. Oh, and I also do want to shout out Jason Hayward. That another one that you just kind of got off the scrap heap, proverbially, right? He has continued to be important. He's going to factor into what we talk about next, because when it comes to the 6-1 loss for the Astros, it's not the biggest deal in the world. They still have an opportunity to clinch and get themselves set up for, you know, winning the AL West and going into postseason play. But really, the big thing about it is we got more information on Yordan Alvarez here. And I think Joe Espada was talking about it. He gave us an update after first letting us know yesterday that, hey man, or early yesterday, that, yeah, he was not, you know, not feeling great, right? Like, he had the, he woke up and he wasn't feeling as good, the, you know, the inflammation, all those things. This was Joe Espada yesterday after the game giving us an update on Altuve.
Right knee sprain.
What is his prognosis for the remainder of the regular season?
He will not be available for this series.
That is Yordan Alvarez, not Altuve. I'm going to lash out. I'm going to blame Figgy on that. You said Altuve earlier.
That's right. You did say that.
You put Altuve.
You almost scared me, to be honest. You said Altuve.
I'm like, oh, man. Did he wake up? Did he sleep wrong? But no.
See, you're catching on. You're catching on.
No, but Yordan out for the remaining two games of this series. But the big thing was knee sprain, right? Mm-hmm. And we don't know what the gradation is on that knee sprain. Is it like a grade 1, grade 2, grade 3, whatever?
You'll never know.
Yeah, fair enough. Touche. Yeah. But with that being the case, right, like, depending on it, you know, you do some cursory searches, a knee sprain is anywhere from a few weeks to months when it comes to getting healthy.
Yes,
so, like, first of all, you're not going to have him for the rest of the Mariners series, which that's not the worst thing in the world. If you get yourself clinched, Yordan can sit for the rest of the damn season
Absolutely.
But postseason play comes quick. You're a week out from wild card series, which it feels like you're very much going to be in. And with that being the case, like, is he going to be ready to play in general? And secondly, ain't no way he can play a field, right?
No, absolutely not. A couple things. First things first, let's go ahead and clinch this thing tonight here, okay? Let's go ahead and clinch this thing tonight.
All right, Fromber, come on, get out here, baby.
Because knock on wood, heaven forbid, if you get swept by the Mariners, there'll be two games back and you go play the Guardians. So I don't want to make it interesting. I don't want to make it interesting.
Come on, that's fun. That's no fun. I don't want fun.
I don't want fun right now.
And one of those Guardians games might be a Verlander game. We've seen the way that he's been pitching.
I'm just saying. I'm just saying. Go ahead.
Although the Guardians are clinched up, right? Guardians don't got nothing to play for.
That's true. I think they good.
No, I think they're good, but we don't want any white knuckles against the Guardians on the final day of the season, and we're like, oh Lord. Now, Yordan, okay? A knee sprain is not like, oh, it's just a sprain. You either stretch the ligaments or slightly tear the ligaments.
Yes.
That's what a knee sprain is. And when they say sprain, it's kind of, you know, softening the verbiage, I guess, of what really happened. So he has some level of ligament damage. Sit his ass and just let's just wait, because I've said it before. I said it last year. You don't win anything without Yordan. All due great respect to the rest of the guys, the Altuves and the Bregmans.
Altuve, who is healthy as far as we know. I just want to make that abundantly clear.
Yes, you know, just sit him. And see if we can get it better in just a matter of days, not weeks, okay? Secondly, you hit it right on the head. It does make things interesting, especially if you go into the postseason, even just missing a, you know, early on in the postseason as he's trying to come back, because then John Singleton gets affected, Dubon gets affected, that he's not going to do anything but play DH.
Yeah, let's talk about that, right? Yeah. Tommy Dang on the YouTube, again, appreciate you, said it's not the pitchers, it's the offense that needs to wake up. And absolutely, and that's why this particular news is a little shaking, right? Like, it shakes you a little bit because Yordan is such a vital part of the actual terror that this off or that this lineup, you know, poses.
Yeah.
Right? And if Yordan is not necessarily, if he's just not feeling good enough to be up to playing once you get to the playoffs, that's a bad thing, point blank period. Like, just get there. But then on top of that, right, if Yordan can only DH, if he can't play the left field, which it does feel like that's the case, one of the things, the reasons why Yordan plays left field is because of the versatility it gives you with that DH position. If he is locked into DH, which he would have to be if he can play, but he can't play in the field, now you're dealing with how many of these bigger bats can you get in the situation, because two of your better bats are catchers, and you have made them play first base in order to make that happen. All right. You have Caratini playing first base maybe, right, and you might have to platoon him with John Singleton. You're not getting him necessarily in, although how much do you want to get Singleton in? Obviously, also, that puts Jason Hayward probably into an everyday left field role, and he has been solid, don't get me wrong, but, I mean, is that the same as having Yordan in left field and then having another DH where you can add an even bigger bat, right? Yeah. Like, I do think that it puts some interesting strain on Espada and, you know, makes the lineup just a little bit less capable of being as dangerous as it possibly can be against teams in the postseason.
Well, less versatile, for sure, because, you know, you know you're going to have Jake Myers in center field and Kyle Tucker in right field. Hayward has been very good. And so all of a sudden you lock in Yordan at DH, which obviously you do. Well, then, you know, Caratini, Dubon, Singleton, you know, all these players all of a sudden get knocked down a peg or two. And so that's where it gets interesting when you have these matchups against pitching, you know, all the advanced stats, you know, pitching versus hitting.
And I did go ahead and put Hayward in left. Maybe Dubon gets some play there as well.
I like Hayward there, but Dubon, you want to get his bat in the lineup too. So that's why it gets interesting.
Yeah, right?
it makes it difficult.
Yeah, it makes it a little bit more difficult to make all those. So yeah, Espada's going to have his work cut out for him. And it's really unfortunate, the timing on this, right? When we talk about timing of things happening for sports teams, this is really unfortunate dealing with Yordan. Now, the thing about it is, like, if it's not a upper body injury, right, like, can he still get in there and swing, right? And that is something that we'll figure out at least beyond the Mariner series. But for the time being, Joe Espada lets us know he's not playing for the next 2 days, tonight nor tomorrow evening, right, or tomorrow, right? And so with that, you're trying to see is he going to be good for postseason play, particularly the wild card series, which unfortunately seems like you're going to have to play, and it's likely that you play against a Tigers team that has been surging, right?
Yeah.
Yordan, get well soon. And again, I don't know if we can trade ligaments or anything, but I got one available for you.
How about from the 409? All I heard from Espada yesterday was torn ACL, PCL, MCL, patella tendon, and broken leg.
All right. Okay. Although
right
they did
knee sprained.
Yeah. 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 They did start with inflammation again.
Yes,
remember?
They did.
The X-ray on what was that, Sunday? Sunday. It was like, oh, the X-ray and there's inflammation. I was like, oh boy, here we go. Here we start the barrel towards fractures, don't we? Unfortunately, or thankfully, not a fracture, but ligament damage, as John pointed to. And so we will be watching that space because it matters so very much for your Astros. Framber Valdez going tonight for the Astros when they face off again against the Mariners. Will they get it done tonight? Will they clinch tonight? That's what we're watching for. But coming up next, let's get to the question of the day here in the Loop. What is your best or maybe worst handiwork moment, right? So like being a handyman, we know that the stadium is getting some handyman work as well to get the roof all back to where it should be. What was your best or worst instance of doing some home improvement work or something of the like? 713-572-4610. Let's talk about that next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
All right, let's get into the question of the day here in the Loop. You can always get involved on the YouTube and the Twitch. YouTube is Sports Radio 610. Twitch is 610 Houston. And then, of course, always text in 713-572-4610. What's your best or worst handiwork moment? Whether it's a home improvement project or working on the automobile or something of that effect. Either go ahead and brag or we can just commiserate some mutual failure. Again, 713-572. Yeah, or be judged.
That's also
a possibility. I'm not going to have very much to talk about because both of the things that I thought of did not shine me in the best light. And speaking of shining light, you won't have nearly as much of that on the NRG Stadium playing surface if everything goes as planned. Roof should be fixed.
We're
for
done.
Sunday.
Home improvement.
Right? They should get that thing
nailed
done.
It. Home stadium improvement.
Yeah. It should be fixed up. And we'll be good with the state roof back to working operation and working order. When that got us thinking, what are your best or worst moments of that? And we already got people texting in. But Lopez, it sounded like you immediately came to some answers.
As soon as we talked about the NRG roof and Cal McNair's up there with some zip ties.
You think that's how it's happening? Huh?
Fixing the roof.
Okay.
You asked me, because I do like to do stuff myself. I'm not, every one of them, I'm not bragging, because every one of them is like one of those moments where you cross your arms and you go, I wonder how I get through this, because there's always little hitches. I'll say my best first, because my worst is the funniest. My best was at our old house. I put an entire tile floor in a room. I ripped up the carpet and put an entire tile floor, floated it, did the whole, this was right on the cusp of internet, so I don't know how much internet help I got, but I was asking people and stuff, got it all done, just gorgeous. And so it was a beautiful tile floor. That was the best moment. There were always,
did you have to cut any tiles?
That's
the stuff that gets me. Is like, y'all actually cut this and got it all fitting right. Good for you.
But the funny thing about that project, because like I said, there's always hitches you go through. I rented the little water saw and all that. No chance. I had no chance of operating.
You had no idea what was happening.
I was breaking tiles left and right. So I did that little scoring thing where you score the tile and snap it and all that. It worked out. That's what I'm most proud of. The worst, and my kids still laugh about this. So I was changing the fixtures in the bathroom, and my kids were little. They're in their 30s now, but they were probably 4, 5, and 8, something like that. And so I had my oldest son turn off the breaker, and I was looking at the lights in the bathroom. So when the lights went off, I knew I could fix, the sockets and everything. So he turned off the breaker. Good to go. I stick that screwdriver, I take off the panel.
Oh, no, baby.
I stick that screwdriver into the wall socket.
He was like Mar from Home Alone.
Dude, it wasn't even like a little shock. Like, it was such a strong shock that my hand wouldn't release from the screwdriver.
He really was Mar from Home Alone. That's crazy.
My hand wouldn't release. It sticks. I didn't know that was a real thing. It stuck to the screwdriver, and I was like, And they were watching me. Laughing their asses off.
If somebody don't knock, one thing about it is, if you don't knock that screwdriver out of my hand when I come to, y'all all getting it. Are you serious?
Yeah, they were little. They were like, look at daddy. He's so funny. And I'm like, It was stuck to the screwdriver. I finally just like wailed my shoulder backwards and got it up, but it went all the way through my shoulder into my chest.
That's crazy.
Oh, man.
You
could have died, man.
You're damn right I could have died.
That's crazy.
But they were like, you're so funny. I was like, Lord.
Yikes.
It was on a different breaker.
Ah, okay. There's multiple breakers.
The sockets were on a different breaker than the lights.
Well, you live and you learn in that way, I guess. 281 said a car dealership wanted $11,000 for them to rebuild their engine, so they bought the parts themselves, did the work, and here they are 5,000 miles later.
Hey, I need your contact info, man. You sound like a good mechanic.
I don't trust myself with that. And maybe some of it is...
Hey, I'm throwing the whole car away.
We can get a new one.
Once you need a head gasket, it's over.
He said it's $11,000. I can put a little bit extra on that and get a car at this point. We're good. That does remind me of like when I was like probably like 10, 11.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I knew something. When, you know, my bike and chain popped off one time.
Oh, I got this.
I was like, oh, man, I fixed this. I had the garage all set up. I was like, man, I'm doing something. That chain ain't stay on one more time. Like, that chain popped off all the damn time. And maybe it was just that once that first time the chain popped off that it was going to do that. But once I did whatever I thought I was doing to fix it, it also consistently popped off. So the idea that I would go in and try and fix a whole car engine, I'm leaving that up to professionals. I'm going to be completely honest. On the text line from the 281, they said they tried to patch a hole in their roof caused by a satellite dish being ripped off during Harvey.
Oh, no.
Lost their balance on the rafters.
Oh, no.
Ended up on the upstairs floor.
Oh.
You went through the ceiling. That is.
I've done that once.
Oh, okay.
I've gone through the ceiling once. Boy, they're all just good. They're all coming back to mind. What about you, Figgy?
So I don't have any bad experience. Look, I ain't going to lie. I'm not the handyman. I'm not going around fixing nothing. But I probably will be once I get this house.
Yeah.
But I would say my best work was before I moved down here. I pretty much built a recording studio in my old room.
There you go.
At my dad's house. So I got some of the moving covers because I couldn't afford like real soundproof patent. So I got some of the moving blue covers from U-Haul. And I put them all in the small closet.
There you go.
I had the staple gun and the nail. Hey, I was getting down. Now, I'm gonna tweet a picture of my old studio. Man.
I mean, as long as it does the job,
dog. I had people from some of the biggest rappers in the city coming to my bedroom. Just the recording.
Oh, this is like, nice.
The quality was top notch, man. I was really proud of myself.
Well, you should have been.
I put my hard earned money into it. That was my best. I don't know if I'm gonna top that.
Yeah.
That does remind me of the time because I wouldn't consider I'm decently handy, but I'm not trying to say that I'm going out of. But all my successes are very like marginal. Like they're just basic. Hey, you did what you were supposed to do.
The small victories.
The failures are the ones that I think are more interesting. And so I have another one of those where I definitely at one point tried to hang like a floating shelf or something. And this was before I was fully aware that, hey, man, you got to make sure you get that in the stud, buddy. I definitely had a shelf fall.
Oh,
I definitely had one of those where it's like, oh yeah, that's right. You probably need to. Yeah, you need.
I can't even begin to count how many times I have a stud finder or something, and I think I nailed it, so to speak. No pun intended. And it just goes boop right through the sheetrock. I'm like, what happened, man?
So many stud finders are not good.
What happened? Why did that happen?
Yeah. So many stud finders just do
then
not
you,
work.
Then you go like at an angle trying to find it. Well, it's got to be close, and you got like 17 holes in your sheetrock.
Yeah, I did have a bad one situation when I moved here and. We had caught a flat, and thank goodness it was at the house. So I thought I was Tim the two-man Taylor, man.
There you go.
I went to the back of the trunk. I'm like, let me get the tools, and so I could put the spare on. Man, her car was so old. She had an 09 Hyundai Accent.
Oh, wow.
So mind you, it came from Cleveland, so that bad boy rusty and nails rusty. Man, it was like it had to be like the middle of June, and I'm outside trying to – hit this boat trying to take the tire off. I could not do it, man. Like, she had the old school tools too, so like the little jet, it wasn't even like the cool one where you could just pump the car up,
right,
man. I was out there sweating like crazy, bro, like to the point I had to call AAA.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they had like one of them NASCAR tools and he had trouble with it, so I felt better.
Okay, there you go.
He had trouble with it with a real tool.
Yeah, it's worse. But it's worse when they get out there and they handle the thing you've been struggling on for hours in about 13 seconds.
Yeah.
Those are the ones that make you feel bad. From 713, they said best and worst thing happened in one weekend all at once. They said change the thermostat in their housing on the car, thermostat housing rather, on the car, just watching a YouTube video, but then in the process they stripped the radiator drain plug. So they had to go to the mechanic anyways.
Oh,
so you fix one thing, but you created another issue. That's tough.
I like this one. We've all been there. Actually, I should say we've all had that as our worst nightmare. My wife asked me to hang the pictures at their new house, I guess. Did them all. Next morning, they were all on the floor broken.
Yep. I've been there clearly, as I said. 3, 4, 6. They said the worst is that the ladder fell out from under them, hanging out, putting up Christmas lights, fell 8 feet.
That's a nightmare too, man. Yeah, you're always like clinching the ladder with your legs.
I'm not
jumping on no ladder, man, especially outside.
I am not hanging up Christmas lights for anything anyways. I have not gotten to that place in my life, and I'm not looking forward to
you
it.
You will.
In the future. We'll see.
Yeah.
Look at you thinking I'll be able to buy property. That's cute.
You need to get me a handyman.
They said their best. Yeah, you definitely do. Best, they built the interior completely on a barndominium.
A barndominium.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did that all themselves. Congratulations
to
you.
That's big time. That is big time. You know those barndominiums, like metal buildings, and then they turn them into a house?
Yeah.
That's hard. Yeah. That's big time work right there. Too bad you fell off the ladder putting up the Christmas lights.
Yeah. Hey man, we just need those things to keep us humble, right?
Salute to all the builders, man. Yeah.
There's a lot of folks build, although I imagine this was very embarrassing. 832, they said they locked their keys in their house, called a locksmith, and he broke into the house with a credit card. Mm-hmm. Well, just throw the keys away at that point. Your house is very accessible, isn't it? Right? You just figure some things out. All of these ones rolling in. We'll have to keep circle around with some of these. Some said 281, been up in attics hundreds of times, never fell through the ceiling, bought their first house, brand new build, first weekend installing the garage door opener, was up in the attic, bolted it to the rafter, walking back to the ladder, fell through the ceiling into the gas.
That's so easy to do. I knew a guy, this wasn't me, but I knew a guy that was walking in his attic, and not only did he fall through the sheetrock, he misstepped, but he landed on the stud between his legs.
Oh, no.
Like his boys were crushed.
God, man.
His boys were crushed.
Well, hopefully a lot of good luck to all the fine folks that are up on the roof of NRG, mm-hmm. making sure that those panels are all the way fixed as they should be before the Texans kick off.
Don't fall through the roof.
Please don't.
A little worse.
Yeah, that's not 8 feet. I will tell you for certain, getting down to that playing surface, it will not be quick, or it will not be comfortable either.
Yeah.
Supposedly the roof should be fixed up all the way and ready for the Sunday afternoon game with the Texans and the Jaguars. Tickets to which you could probably win if you keep listening to In the Loop Sports Radio 610, because in the 12 o'clock hour, we will be giving away a couple of tickets in the bullpen to that game. But coming up next, let's go around the NFL, and we'll do that with our every Tuesday guest, Brandon Scott. We'll talk to B. Scott next.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.